deep in my side is only there to help me see that though I never asked for it, the desert is God's gift to me. What if the world doesn't end when the fears come true? What if we have what we need to make it through? There is manna from heaven and mercy's new. What if God is still here in the desert? God is still here.
Hello, thank you so much, Matt and Holly, for leading us in worship this morning. I appreciate your honesty. I appreciate your flexibility. I appreciate all the love that was given on what a great way to say thank you, God, for all the stuff that you've done this year and for how great you've been. What a wonderful thing to be able to put in the chat and to be able to communicate that and to be able to share together the great things of God. And I was blown away by what you guys shared. And so I'm absolutely thankful. All right, let me start with this process. I will confess to you, I am not joyful that I am by myself in the basement with my family teaching. I love being with you. I love gathering together as a family, as a group. At the same time, I love you deeply. I care for your family. I care for your kids. I care for your well-being. I care for so much that God has, which is part of being a shepherd, is caring for the people that God has put underneath your care. And so for those of you who would much rather be here in the basement and those of you who would not rather be in the basement, I just thank you for your grace. I thank you for your love. I thank you for your encouragement. I thank you for your willingness just to go along in the process. And I think that's really incredible as we're talking about peace. And I'll get to that in a second as we get to the sermon. But I just want to let you guys know is what I'm trying to do is just really watch and pay attention to the times, walk us through week by week, seeing what's going on, and trying not to jump way ahead and making some decisions super fast, and trying not to make a decision super slow. If you've ever been there where you're trying to time a decision just right, you know how difficult that is. And so I would appreciate your prayers. I would appreciate your love. I would appreciate just the grace that you continue to extend to me and to the leaders as we continue to walk through this process. And so I just want to stop for a second and pray blessings over your home and your household, your family, your generations, the people that you're connected with in your workplace, on your street, that your kids go to school with, the communities that you are involved in. I pray that you are an agent of peace and you are a blessing right now in this time that we come together being January and we come into what is 2022. So let's pray together. And let's ask God to continue to bless us. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you, God, have been an amazing God. And there's so much that you did last year. Lord, you sustained us in so many ways. And you showed up in so many ways, which means, God, you're going to show up again. If you're consistent, if you are true to your character, God, you are going to lead us. You are going to love us. You are going to grow us in 2022. Father, I pray a blessing over each and every one of these families as they too are trying to navigate decisions. God, maturity is tough. Maturity is hard. Maturity is rare. And so, God, I pray a blessing over Real Church that we would be mature, that we would be people of the King. We would be people of the kingdom. And we would be responding with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. That God, it wouldn't be our flesh that's responding. It would be you, your spirit in us, responding through us. So Heavenly Father, I pray a blessing over our church that we would be your kids, that we would be yours that are called by your name, and that we would be described as Christians, and we would look weird to the world by the way that we're responding. Father, please help our educators. Please help our teachers. Please help our professors. Please help our government leaders. Please help our police officers and firefighters. Please help our wonderful healthcare workers. Fathers, please, fathers and mothers, and God, help everybody. Kids, Lord, we all need your help. And so, Father, the peace that we're looking for can only come from you. So, Lord, as we study peace one more time, would you be the one that's placing peace on us? Peace in our hearts, in our minds, on our hearts, on our minds, in our souls. Would you, God, be the one that places peace? Not human-made peace, but godly, righteous, holy peace that comes from you. It's in your name, God, we pray. Amen. All right. Building update. Let me give you guys a building update, kind of let you know where we're at and what we're doing and what's going on. Want to let you know that, go ahead and throw the next slide up. You know, we're still working on our pledges and what we've got going on and the scope of the building plan that we have going on. We've got a $350,000 budget of what we're going into. $200,000 of it we're going to borrow at 2% interest, which is amazing, and we're going to get that going. And then we had $150,000 that we wanted to put into the building, and put into the building new paint, electricity, flooring, updating the AC and the heating, getting different things for the children's room, a little bit safer and more precious for our kids so that they're good. And then there was some water damage that had happened from the roof and repairing that water damage inside of the facility. And then let me just bring you a prayer request. The water damage on the roof was submitted to an insurance company, and that insurance company hasn't responded yet. So if you just want to pray right now and ask God to bring forward just grace and mercy and love from that insurance company to cover the expense of the roof and to fix it, I know that would make David and I incredibly happy, but I just want to let you know it would make you incredibly happy, because the sooner we get that fixed, we can get into the building. That said, we're still shooting for February 6th. Now, I want to be super honest with you, because we're real church. That was a dream date. If you've ever done a project, it always costs more than you think it's going to cost. It always takes more time than you think it's going to take. All that. Here's the beautiful thing. I talked with our landlord this morning, and right now we're not being kicked out of the basement, so it's super good. So we still have a place. But I would love to gather and worship together on February 6th, together inside of this building. So keep praying. We're praying that our contractors, they don't get COVID, they don't get knocked down, their homes aren't hit with it, they don't have to slow in their work. But I want to let you know, we're going to be flexible. If that does happen, we're going to move the date, and I'm going to keep you guys up to date with what we have going on. So grace in the process, patience in the process. If you've been with me now for 10 years, you know these teachings. We're going to keep doing this. Okay, let's go to the next slide. Let me give you the update on where we are with what we have going on. We're doing a fundraiser. We're doing a $50,000 fundraiser, and we're praying that we would go to God. And I'm not guilting you in what to do, and I want to be very real. If God tells you to give $5, that's all you have to give. If God tells you you're not supposed to give any money and you're supposed to pray, that's what you're supposed to do. At Real Church, we want you to be faithful and obedient to what God told you to do. And that's what we want to do. And how do we do that? Well, we go through the process. We commit already to God. God, I say yes before you even ask. I'm in with you. I'm committed to you. Going back to a sermon I taught a couple months ago, say yes before God asks. Commit to God. The next one is align with God. Find out areas where you're not lining up with God, where God is saying, this is how I want you to act. You need to move into alignment with God. Commit to God, line up with God. And then the next thing that we do after we commit, after we align, we ask God to provide. This isn't going to be something that I'm going to do in my own power, in my own strength. I'm not going to pull myself up by my bootstraps and make all this stuff happen. We got done a couple months ago going through the money series. We learned that God is the one who provides wealth. And if that is true and you believe Scripture, Scripture clearly teaches God is the one who provides wealth. You need to ask God to provide. So you commit to God, you align with God, and then you ask God to provide. So, Lord, whatever number you want me to give, $5, a dollar, whatever, God, you're going to have to provide. And then the last step is ask God to tell you what to give. Now, let me help you guys out. Those of you who are mature, you know everything you have is God's. You know that if God showed up and he said, I want it all, if you are a faithful follower of Christ, it would be difficult, but you would work through the process of giving it all. Why? Because your God has saved you. from an eternity set in hell, separated from him for everything. And because of that fact, you would give anything to a God that loves you and has totally redeemed you and cared for you, protected you, and brought you out of harm. It would be obvious for you to want to repay that love to that God. And so here we have this situation where whatever God tells you to do, sure, for some of you, it's going to stretch you. It's going to take massive amounts of faith. For some of you, it's going to take just courage to say yes and to go for it. So having said that, I want to share with you guys, I have cried twice now on this one. As our finance director has given me the information and said, hey, let me let you know what pledges have already come in. Let me share with you what's already come in. So currently our church has already pledged $82,000 to this $50,000 budget plan. So I don't know if you realize that the $50,000 fundraiser has been smashed. And that is amazing. So if wherever you're at, if you can just stop for a second and go, wow, praise God. Praise God. Now here's the other thing that's crazy. A couple of people have already told me, yeah, Pastor, we're still praying about it. We haven't even turned in our number yet. That means I'm just sitting, I am blown away at God's faithfulness. I am blown away at the courage and faith of our church. And this is what I want to do. And I said in the very beginning, I prayed that whatever, I prayed that God would bless you fourfold. And that's my prayer and blessing still to this date. And so God, these pledges that have come in, would you please provide? Lord, would you bless through your ability to care for these families so that they can give and they can create and help us create a place where we can come and worship your name. God, where we can do weddings. God, where we can have parties, we can have festivals, where we can have worship services. God, where we can have youth nights. God, where our kindred can get together and put really crazy things on tables. God, where beer and Bible can show up and be together. God, would you please bless so that we can be a faithful community that can come together and just honor your name. Isn't that awesome? So wherever you're at, I know my family's trying to be quiet because we're recording, but that number is nuts. And I remember Shay's going through the slides and he sees the number and he just looks at me like, are you kidding me? And I'm like, God is amazing. And so let's just sit there that God is amazing. Now, having said that, let me transition to one more thing. Beer and Bible, this Saturday coming up, we're going to be online together. Tony and Dave and Josh, we're going to get the information out to you guys and to communicate what we're up to and what we're doing. So we want to keep you guys safe. Kindred is working on their information. That information is going to come out here in a little bit. Please, we're walking this together. Let's not stress out. Let's not push on people. Let's continue to give grace. Why do we give grace? Because grace was given to us. And as you've received, you should give. Okay, so let's jump into our sermon today. We've been looking at peace. We've been talking about having peace on earth. And we talked about a couple weeks ago that peace is among those who serve their God, that peace is among those who follow their God, that peace is among those who risk for their God, that peace is among those who are substituted by their God, that when Jesus comes in and substitutes his life for yours, you're made perfect, not because you're perfect, but because Christ's life is perfect. And he is standing in your gap. And because he's standing there, there is peace between you and me, between God and us. There's peace on earth. Because of the work of Jesus, there's peace. And then we talked about peace in your mind. Sometimes our minds are crazy and they're chaos and they're going. And we talked about how can you work through unpleasant times and pleasant times? How can you work in your mind? And we talked about making God the center. When you and I become the center, it throws everything off. All your calculations are wrong. And when you put God at the center, God is the priority, God is the goal, then your mind has to bow and submit to God. And that's hard. And your mind doesn't want to do it. Your mind wants to fight for superiority. And you've got to work on that. We talked about pondering the things of God. Think about all the things that God has done. Think on what is good, what is holy, what is righteous, and what is true. And then we talked about letting God lead you. Let God lead you. And in this process of making God the center, of pondering the things of God and letting God lead you, you would be rooted in the things of God. As this world tries to infect you with so many different ideas and thoughts, you are rooted in the things of God. You are rooted in the scriptures. You are rooted in the teaching of the King. And then we talked about peace of heart. We talked about how do you interpret your emotions inside of your heart? You interpret it through being real with yourself, others, and God. You interpret your emotions through your scriptures. You interpret your emotions through having conversations with mature Christians. And you interpret your emotions by bringing your emotions to God and asking God to tell you his thoughts. What does God's word say about how you feel and what you're thinking? We talked about clinging to the truths of God and asking the Holy Spirit to guard your heart. So today we're going to talk about peace in your soul. How can you have peace in your soul? And the beauty is that peace in your soul really isn't up to you and I. You see, our souls are governed by God Almighty. God is sovereign and God is in charge. What we have is the opportunity to submit ourselves to God and let God be the one who takes care of our souls. We're going to look at Luke chapter 2, verses 22 through 38. And it's still part of the Christmas story. It's like the back end of the Christmas story. And so I wanted to look at that for a little bit, but I want to talk to you a little bit, first of all, about peace. What does peace look like? When I moved from Southern California to Chicago, I found something that was really important to me, a poster, and I rolled that poster up and I packed it from California and I brought it all the way out to Chicago. And then one day I rolled them out and I put these posters up and I put them, there's two of them inside of my home. And there's one that was super important for me that I put in my daughter's room. And I put this poster up on her wall. And if you show it up on the screen, do full screen, take me off. It says, "I find peace in this war." And I love that this picture of this little girl doesn't have her face shown. We don't know who that is. That could be any little girl. But while that little girl stands there, there's so much that's going on around her. I find peace in this war. So how can you and I find peace as everything is going on around us? How can we find peace in this moment of 2022? How can we find peace that we sit back and people are telling us, any news media, by the way, their whole idea in news media is to create conflict and to create fear so that you pay attention and you watch and there's a response, a physical response. How do we remain calm and at peace in these times? I remember a couple years back, my wife and I, we traveled to Israel and we had flown out there and we were walking around and we were seeing the beautiful countryside and we went during Israeli independence. And I don't know if you know this about the Middle East, but there's a lot of struggle between the Arabs and the Israelis. And the Israelis were celebrating that they were independent and they were awesome. And the Arabs in the area weren't too happy about it. As we were finishing the week-long trip, we made our way to Jerusalem. And we were staying in a hotel in Jerusalem. And that night there were riots and there were fights and there were things that were going on and there were things that were burning. And we got up in the morning and we got onto a bus and the bus drivers are trying to figure out what to do. And the bus takes us up to the top of Jerusalem, to the temple, well, not the Temple Mount, but to look over the Temple Mount. And so basically looking down at where Jerusalem is. But to walk up into that area, that was where a lot of the rioting and a lot of the fighting and the conflicts had happened. And as we pulled up in the bus, you could see fire still smoldering. You could see rocks that were thrown all around the street. And we got out of the bus, and there was all this tension on the bus. How do we get out? What's going on? I just confess to you that it didn't feel peaceful in the bus. And we get out of the bus, and we start walking around, and we start moving our way, and we're gonna look down on Jerusalem, and we're going to see the Temple Mount, and we're going to see all this stuff that's going on. And this really huge, amazing man who is one of my friends still to this day starts to lose it. You see, this man grew up in Turkey and this man fought in the Turkish and Syrian wars and he was having memories and flashbacks of what war was like. And this man who's huge, huge, solid rock starts to lose his mind and get aggressive and starts to, because he's starting to panic. He's not at peace. For whatever reason, I'm not thinking I'm amazing. I think it's one of the dumbest things I've ever done in my life is I got up in this man's chest and got him to look at me. Now, he and I had been friends before. He was a police officer in Southern California. This man knew how to fight. This man could have picked me up and chucked me in a heartbeat and thrown me away. And I got in this man's face and I just looked at him and just said, I love you. Those weren't my words. It's not what I came up with. I just got in his face and looked at him and said, I love you. And all the distractions that were going around, he zoomed in and he looked at me. And I thought I was dead. I thought I was going to get crushed. I thought I was just going to get picked up and hucked. And I just looked at him and said, do you trust me? He said, yeah, Nathan, I trust you. You're my pastor. He started to calm down for a second. And I just said, I need you to be at peace, and I need the peace of God to be in you. Can I pray for you? He said, yeah. Now, the miracle didn't come over him. He wasn't completely great. There's still fires burning in other places and rocks, and there's people staring at us, completely clear that we're Americans. And we walked out, and we continued the day. Later on, we were at dinner, and he came up to me, and he just said, thank you for loving me. I'm sorry I lost my mind. And he told me the stories of why it would make sense for him to lose his mind. I just sat there and thought, man, this would have been a better story to hear in America, not here. Like, I would much prefer for it to be later. What I'm talking about is there are times in our lives when chaos hits us, planned, unplanned. There's stuff that just feels like there's things that are going on around us. How do we still, when we're pushed, when we're pushed to a point that we want to react and we want to speak, how do we in our souls remain at peace? Point number one, be at peace with God's timing. One of the biggest problems I've had is I've fought God's timing. When I want my timing, I just took God out of the center and I put myself in the center. When I want my timing, there's going to be a war. There's going to be a battle. And that battle now is between God and me. Because God is saying, Nathan, trust my timing. My timing is good. He's saying your name, trust my timing. And when you and I are arguing with God on timing, when we're going to get married, when we're going to have kids, when we're going to buy a home, when we're going to get a job, when we're going to move to another city, when we're going to go on vacation, when we're arguing with God on timing, there's not peace in our soul. We're not bowing to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We're telling the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords to bow to us. And let me help you out with that. That's revolt. Let me help you out with that. That's deserting. And you and I need to realize, oh God, your timing. You're in charge. Your timing. In verse 22, in Luke chapter 2, there's a conversation in a moment where Mary and Joseph are bringing Jesus to the temple. It says, and when the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. You see, there was a time period, timing of God, that God said, at this moment, you need to bring your kid and have them purified in the temple. Mary and Joseph are traveling. They're not even close. It's uncomfortable. It's difficult. The timing doesn't line up. There's other things they wanted to do. And God is saying, here's my timing. Come, do what I've asked you to do in my timing. And offer what I've asked you to offer. Point number one, be at peace with God's timing. How can I have peace in my soul? Don't fight God. Where do I fight God? With God's timing. Be at peace with God's timing. Bow to God's timing. Lord, you be in charge. Lord, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Point number two, be at peace with God's plan. Be at peace with God's timing. Be at peace with God's plan. God has a plan for your life and my life. The problem is that you and I think he has a plan every day to make you look awesome. You and I think that every day God's supposed to bring something great that you can put on Instagram, TikTok, so you can get tons of upvotes, so socially people think you're amazing, you're the best mom on the face of the earth, you're the best dad because you closed the most deals, you're the coolest person because you bought the newest car just today that just came out. Like, we just feel this pressure to go, 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 now. And God has a plan, and a lot of your life is boring. And then there's a moment. And then it's boring. And then there's a moment. And then it's boring. And then there's a moment. But what we've done is no, church can't be boring. We have to grow every day, every day. And we put this pressure on that God never put on us. How do we know that? Well, look at this story that's sitting right here in the middle of Jesus being brought to the temple. It says, now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. He wasn't told yesterday that he wouldn't see death before the Lord's Christ, and he just comes to the temple today and Jesus shows up. No, this was years and years and years and years and years ago, and this man had been coming to the temple for years looking for Jesus. And he kept coming again and again and again and again and again. Verse 26. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of law, he took him up in his arms and he blessed him. Now pause for a second. His timing wasn't dependent on him. The Holy Spirit said, you will see Jesus in the temple. It wasn't dependent on him to know which time of the day he had to be in the temple. It says in Scripture, he was led by the Spirit when it was time. Take a deep breath. Write in your notes, I'm going to be led by the Spirit when it's time. Doesn't depend on you and me. Our availability. But you're going to be led by the Spirit when it's time. God has planned in 2022 many faith and good works for you. He's established it, and he's going to walk you through it. He's going to do it. It says, and he came in the Spirit into the temple. The Spirit of God moved him into the temple. It says, and he took up his arms and he blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and glory to all your people, Israel. He didn't sit down and write that. He didn't come up with that idea. That wasn't something that he was like, okay, when I see Jesus, how am I going to act? What am I going to? The Holy Spirit is what's working through him. God is doing the work he wants to do to honor and proclaim his son. God is going to do the work that he wants to do to glorify his bride, which is the church. God is going to do the work. Verse 33. And Jesus' father and mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and the rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. Awkward. Mary and Joseph are standing there, and Simeon says to Mary, you're going to have a painful life raising this kid. If there was ever a time where God wanted somebody to feel a great life, to feel loved, I've heard Christians say all the time, God just wants me happy. I have searched the 66 books. The weights, the measurements, I've looked in the glossary, the appendix, I've even looked on the leather binding to find that God wants you happy. If there was ever anybody that God wanted happy, it would be the mother of Jesus. And it was said, Mary, your life's going to be rough. It's going to be tough raising this kid. Christian, follower of God, it is tough to follow God. It is unpleasant at many times. Sure, there's moments of pleasantries, but it is unpleasant to be mature and to be faithful and to be God-fearing and to follow God. It's difficult. Look at Jesus at the end of his life. He's bleeding blood. He's literally on a rock and he's asking God, is there another way? And we have so many Christians today thinking, where's the easiest way to go? Where's the path of least resistance? And we need mature, faithful men and women of God to commit to the process, to stay with it, to be at peace with God's plan, to recognize that God's plan has unpleasantness, and that's fine. God's plan has his timing, which can be inconvenient for you and I, sure. But God is amazing and worthy of trust and honor and praise and glory above all things. So how can we be at peace in our souls? We've got to let go of leadership. We've got to bow down and let him be the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. Verse 36, that's not enough. Simeon's not the only person. Mary and Joseph are still there in the temple. They still got Jesus. And it says, there was a prophetess, Anna, and the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then was a widow until she was 84. This woman has lived to the age of 84. What has this lady been doing? It says, she did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer day and night. When this woman lost her husband and she became a widow, she committed herself to the temple to be there, to love on God, to worship through fasting and through prayer. This woman's in. I don't know if you guys are like me. I love fasting. It's one of the greatest things I can ever do. I'm like the best faster. Like, I fast so well, I even think, is this even worship? No! No! I hate fasting. The moment I decide to fast from something, it bugs me. Have you been there? Have you decided, you know what? I'm going to fast from television for a while. I'm going to fast from social media for a while. I'm going to fast from music for a while. I'm going to fast from sugar. I'm going to fast from coffee. I'm going to, do you notice how your body responds? Your body throws you into chaos trying to get you to go do that very thing. One time, just for fun, we did a spiritual exercise. Try to fast from something you don't like and notice how your body now wants to do it. I was like, man, I'm evil. I need Jesus. This lady has been fasting and she has been worshiping and she has been praying day and night. Wow. Verse 38. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who are waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. Point number one, be at peace with God's timing. Point number two, be at peace with God's plan. Point number three, be at peace while waiting. This beautiful woman, Anna, this beautiful man, Simeon, were waiting. Waiting for something amazing. And they were waiting for a long time. I'm not talking 10 days. We're not talking 3 months. We're not talking a year. We're talking years they were waiting. Have you been there? Are the things that you're praying for right now that you're asking God to do and you've been praying for years and you're still waiting? Still waiting, right? As we were in 2021, I was still waiting. I was like, God, we've been here 10 years. We're in the basement. This doesn't feel... And then out of nowhere, God's like, here's a building. God's timing. So then I come up with a date. We're going to be there February 6th. We're going to be there when God wants us there. I mean, it's a date to try to work towards, but we'll work towards it. But we're going to be flexible as a family. We're going to honor God's timing. We're going to honor God's plan. Yes, taking on this building is going to be difficult. When you read the story of Joshua going into the promised land, there were giants, there were problems, there were fortified cities, there were battles that had to be fought. That's part of the process, is to trust God and to be at peace during the war. And the third one, be at peace while waiting. Be at peace while waiting. Being at peace is hard. Being at peace while waiting is difficult. What's interesting is that being at peace with God's timing is dealing with the when. Being at peace with God's plan is dealing with the who. Who? Who? Being at peace while waiting is the how. God, how are you going to do this? And there's so many parts where I get in trouble, where I step out, and I just don't trust God to take care of it. So right now, if your marriage needs extra love, right now, if your body needs healing, Right now, if there's someone that you're praying for that they would know the salvation of God, let's commit it to the King. God, this is your marriage. God, these are your children. God, this is your neighbor. That's your creation. This is your city. God, you reign, you be God. See, that's where we get peace, is it doesn't depend on us. It depends on Him. But ultimate peace is salvation. Ultimate peace is believing that Jesus Christ is your Savior and your Lord and allowing Him to actually be your Savior, to save you and I from ourselves, and actually to be our Lord. And now I'm jumping into our next sermon series. A lot of difficulty with Christians is they don't transition to God being their Lord. They have fire insurance. Yeah, I'm not going to hell. I love God. He's my Savior. I know. I prayed a prayer. I'm good. And I would say, okay, that's awesome. Show me graciously through faith and good works based in the power of the Spirit that you are surrendered to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the Scripture of God rules your life and your heart. And that's the goal. That's where we get genuine peace. Peace that we trust that the King is good, the King is in charge, the King has a plan, and I am faithful to that plan. Lord, your will be done. So what's our application? Our application is to ask Jesus to give us peace. Ask Jesus to give you peace. 2 Thessalonians 3:16 says this, "Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times in every way. The Lord be with you all." Isn't that a blessing that you would want today? That's a blessing that you'd want today. Just put your hands out. Now, if you're listening to the podcast and you're driving a car, that's not what I want you to do, okay? But what I want you to do is I want you to put your hands out to receive this blessing. Set your hands out. Be in a physical posture of humility. Put your hands out. It's not hands for me. It's hands for God. The blessing is now may the Lord of peace, that's Jesus, himself, Jesus, give you and me peace at all times. Peace to ride the L. Peace to return to work. Peace to send your kids to school. Peace to be in the basement in church. Peace to move forward on a building. Peace to go into the doctor's office. Peace. Where do you need peace in your life? Ask Jesus for it. Jesus, would you please give me peace? I need it right here. So let's put our hands out. Lord, would you please bless us with peace? Lord, would you give us you? And would you give us peace at all times in every way? And God, would you be with all of us? Amen. And that's my blessing over you today as you jump into 2022. Some of you guys are shoveling today, shoveling snow and moving those things around. I pray that the peace of Jesus would be with you at all times and in every way. And recognize this, Christian, you are a peace ambassador. You are an ambassador of peace in your home. You're an ambassador of peace at your work. You're an ambassador of peace as you walk down the sidewalk, as you get on the L, as you enter into a classroom, whether you're on a Zoom call or whatever, you are an ambassador of peace. Find that peace through Jesus. Don't create it yourself. God bless you guys. May his face shine upon you. May his love be on you. I praise God for keeping us safe. I praise God for all the people who are healing from COVID. I praise God for all the people who have not gotten it yet. And I pray that most of us won't ever get it. I know that God is amazing. And I thank you for all your encouraging words as you encourage me in Christ, as I encourage you. God bless you guys. Have a wonderful, wonderful Sunday. His face shine upon you.
be gracious to you, Lord, turn his face toward you and give you peace. The Lord bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you.